hardened unthankfulness, division, hatred, anger. Where is God in all this? Is he watching? Is he seeing? Does he know? Hardened ungratefulness, chaos defining our new norm. Protests, debates, arguments, violence. Where is truth? Is it another war, scandal, a senseless attack on innocence? Have we become heartless to the hurt, the sick, the oppressed? Confusion is constant, and rest is rare. Is this life right now? See, God never promised an effortless life. He promised to never leave us or forsake us. He promised to be faithful even when we are not. He promised to be our refuge and our strength. In turbulent times, God's grace still abounds. His mercies new every morning. Jesus still died for us. Salvation is still free, and heaven still awaits. Today, choose thankfulness.
Good morning. Well, when we have these times, when we come together and we let you talk out there about your Thanksgiving and so forth, I never really get a chance to say thank you. I want to tell you what I'm thankful for today. I'm thankful, first of all, for a mother who knew the Lord and brought me up constantly bombarding me with the truth as a kid. I'm thankful for a mother who loved me to the extent that when I was hurt in the hospital for a year, that she was right there with all of the biblical stories telling me again and again about God and who He was. I am thankful for growing up in a home that was safe. I am thankful for the time that my mother drugged me to Seattle to hear Billy Graham when I didn't want to go. And because that's when I became a child of God. And I'm thankful for the time that allowed me to go for training and teaching in the Word of God and to learn. I am thankful for my family and my kids. And I am thankful for the love of a lot of people in my life. I've never have felt a loneliness. For some reason, I've always believed that no matter when I was by myself, that I always had someone present with me. And that was the Lord, and that's been a blessing to me over many, many years. And then I'm very, very thankful for every one of your smiling faces and who you are and your love for the Lord and your desire to learn and grow and the interaction that we have. So I'm just so thankful about so many things, every opportunity we have to share with each other, to love each other, to share the Lord and His wonderful mercy and grace. So that's what I'm going into Thanksgiving with, all right? I'll be spending some time with my kids and having on Thanksgiving Day and enjoying a nice meal, always with plenty of food. This is always a time that I have to be careful, and so do you, because it's a time that we can kind of overdo things if we aren't careful, because it is so much fun, and it is so, everything is so right there. You got it. You know, just because it's on the table, you remember now, you don't have to eat it. Okay? All right? But anyway, I want to talk about Thanksgiving today, and Joe kind of opened the subject up for me. And said some things that I wasn't going to say, but that's all right. It all ties in with what we were talking about. But first I want to go to Psalm 103. And if you would turn in your Bibles to Psalms 103, I want to read the verses there. And listen, I want you to listen to them carefully, because this is a mandate for you and I as God's children. This is who we're supposed to be. This is how we're to have this relationship with Him. It is what our perspective ought to be. One of gratefulness, a heart of love in reciprocation for all He's done for us, all the love He's shown us, and how we're to walk in the light of that love every day. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. Well, we missed a verse there. Who satisfy your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. And then the Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses. He acts His acts to the son of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Just as the Father has compassion on His children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember His precepts to do them. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who perform His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all of you, His hosts, you who serve Him, doing His will. Bless the Lord, all you works of His, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What a magnificent psalm. And it ought to draw out of us always a heart of thanksgiving and joy for all that He has done and will do yet ahead. Now, I have to tell you and be honest with you, the inspiration for this sermon and the main points of this sermon come from a sermon by Bruce Howell that was given a few years ago. But I thought they were so apropos, and I wanted to share them with you. The observance of Thanksgiving is a tradition that we hold dear to our hearts. We look forward to its coming every year. And we are excited about the opportunities to get family together and to share together and have fun together and enjoy each other. And so we are so grateful for this time of year. The tradition of gathering together with friends and family for Thanksgiving began almost, well, a little over 400 years ago at Plymouth Colony, okay? Joe talked a little bit about that. The pilgrims uprooted themselves, and they sailed for America on the Mayflower, seeking religious freedom and a new way of life for their families. Because of what they endured, It is amazing that we ever came to have this holiday at all. Really is. Only can we explain it when we put God in the picture. First, instead of landing in Virginia where others of England had already established settlements, the Mayflower was blown off course and landed at Plymouth, Massachusetts, just as time for winter to set in, as we have heard. What ensued next was enough to break the will of even the strongest people. Terrible storms, sickness ravaged the settlers. Governor William Bradford described the first winter as, "That which was most sad and lamentable was that in 2 or 3 months' time, half of the company had died." He went on to describe how that sometime 2, even 3 people died each day. Shelter from the harsh winter was scant, as the pilgrims spent their time digging 7 times as many graves for their dead as they built homes for the living. When the ship arrived, which was to bring food for their relief, they found that while they brought 35 more mouths to feed, not 1 ounce of provision had been brought. Tough times. The very fact that the tradition of Thanksgiving originated from this band of beaten brothers is amazing indeed and truly a miracle of God. Yet in 1621, Edward Winslow, one of the 50 or so members of the Plymouth colony, wrote these words describing the first Thanksgiving. "Our harvest of corn came in well, and God be praised, we had a good increase of Indian corn, and our barley crop was also good. And although our harvests are not always so plentiful as it was at this time, yet, by the goodness of God, we are so far from want that we often wish that you could be partakers of our plenty." Amazing. Amazing spirit. Amazing heart, amazing perception, and above all that, amazing, amazing faith in the living God. Each member of the family, well, let me just preface this. Wanting never to forget how God delivered them from the want, the pilgrims and their ancestors developed a tradition that they would remember hard times from which they had been delivered. Whenever the pilgrims gathered for a dinner of Thanksgiving, they had a custom of placing 5 kernels of corn upon each empty plate before the meal was ever served. Each member of the family would pick up a kernel and tell that for which they were thankful. This was a reminder to them how during that first winter at Plymouth, that food was so scarce that each individual was rationed only 5 kernels of corn a day. They never wanted to forget that. They wanted to see how God provided for them. And as God's children, we should always remember, even the most dire circumstances, to place our reliance upon God. Now, I have no idea what any and all of you are facing this Thanksgiving as we come into this season. I know that there's illness and sickness. There are other issues going on. But I don't know all the details. But I do know this, that as we come into this season, let our hearts literally be filled and bursting with the joy of the Lord and the promise that our faith hangs on to, that God is our source for life and everything in it. We have just come through studying the last part of the last portion of the Sermon on the Mount, where we said God provides for His children. And while we may struggle, while we may go through hard things, there is always light at the end of the tunnel. And that light is the one who said, I am the light of the world. Amen. Yes. So we can look beyond the struggle. We can look beyond the losses. We can look beyond the pain. And we can look beyond even the good times and know that God is there already and waiting for us as we move forward. Today, as we look forward to Thanksgiving, I want to take five kernels from Psalm 103 that we've just read, which we can be thankful toward God. Five kernels of things for which we can be thankful. Now, had I come up with this earlier, I would have probably given you each a little bag of five kernels of corn. I wish I could have done that. And so just imagine that I have. All right? And each kernel is important because, remember, when this all began, that was all they had. Five kernels of corn. We think we're doing really well when we get all this stuff that's on the table at Thanksgiving time, more than we can possibly imagine. And there are yet so many in the world who don't have that. We are truly blessed. We are truly blessed. And so when you sit at the table this year, think about that, how God has blessed you and your families, and how He's provided over the years for you and provided for things. You know, I look back over my years and I can tell you of at least five different times that I should have been dead, that God protected me. Starting as a child, literally, when I fell out of a tree. I mean, you know, what kid is not climbing a tree, right? I was climbing a tree. And I fell out of the tree and lit, or landed, whichever way you want to say it, on top of a cement sandbox that had been built, and the whole outside area was cement, and my head hit the cement. And they couldn't understand why I survived that. Some think I maybe haven't. But I did. And I'm not going to give them all to you, but you remember the story I've told you about the mountain that blew up. Everybody in that mountain, except two, me and one other person, died that day on that job where I worked. I should have been there that day, except that the night before, the man who owned the business said, I don't want you to come in tomorrow morning because we're going to start a new night shift, and I want you to supervise the night shift. So I stayed home that morning, and the whole place blew up and killed everybody except for one man who I found later on the road, all blackened and struggling to get to a house to make a call of what had taken place. I thank God. I look back and I look at these things and I say, why? Why? You know, and I was really sad for a while. Because of all the people that were there, we're all believers. Every one of us were Christians. It was a Christian organization. He hired Christians. We were all Christians. And at lunchtime, we would sit, have Bible studies, pray together. We loved it. And they all left the same day except for me and one other. And I was sad. Why didn't I get to go? You know why? Because of you. God knew that He needed me here for now, for this time, for today, with you. And who knows what yet is ahead? I don't know. Here I am now, 84. Anything's possible. But you see, I'm so grateful because I can see step by step, and you can too if you look back through your life. You can see how God has gone ahead of you, prepared the way, saved you from things, and ultimately brought you through tough and hard times. And what that ought to do nothing but just cause our soul to well up in praise to God for all these. But let's talk about these first. The first is the kernel of forgiveness in Psalms 103, third verse, the first part. It says, who, God being, who pardons all of our iniquities? That in itself ought to cause us to praise God from now throughout eternity. He has pardoned us all of our iniquities. God's forgiveness cannot be earned. It is from His loving kindness and His compassion. Psalms 103:10, He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And then Ephesians 2:8, 9 and 10, you know these words. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. God's forgiveness is complete. Psalms 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. Acts 3:19, therefore repent, return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So the kernel of forgiveness. You've been forgiven. I've been forgiven. What a glorious thing to praise God for. Secondly, the kernel of healing. That's the second part of the third verse of 103. Who, God again, who heals all our diseases. Now, it's interesting. A lot of people say, well, you know, I go to the doctor gives me medicine, and then I get healed. I want you to know something. The doctor has wonderful gifts, and God has given the doctor gifts to know how to prepare, how to take certain things out of your body that are causing you trouble and pain. But once it's all said and done, you still have to heal. Where'd that come from? That's God. He built it into your bodies, for one thing. And that healing property within your very creation, you, who you are, is what heals you from day to day to day to day. The doctor can prep things, and he can get things ready, and he can get rid of cancer by carving it out, but there still is a healing process that he has no part in, except that he's prepared the way. And God uses that mightily. He uses doctors constantly, and doctors and nurses and those who serve in that capacity are amazing people. But when it comes to the actual healing, it is God who heals us. And what a glory to know that, you know. Then there's the kernel of redemption. And that's in verse 4, the first part of the verse. He who redeems our life from the pit. He redeemed me from loss, complete, total blackness and loss apart from Him. The pit. Now we know the pit, that title is used a lot in the Scripture, and it's the very place where Satan is and will be dwelling, is in the pit. And He redeemed us from that. He bought us back from that. The governor of Texas once spoke of groups of convicts incarcerated in the state penitentiaries. He finished by saying that he would remain, after he talked to them, that he would remain to listen if any man wanted to speak with him. As might be expected, when the meeting was over, a large group of men remained. One by one, they each told the governor that he was there through a frame-up, injustice, or a judicial blunder. Each man asked to be freed. Finally, one man came up and said, "Governor, I just want to say that I am guilty. I did what they sent me here for, but I believe I've paid for it. And if I were freed, I would do everything I could to be a good citizen and prove myself worthy of your mercy." This man was the only one the governor pardoned. Why? Because he admitted his guilt. We are redeemed by God Himself when we admit our guilt and seek His redemption. We can't pay for our sin, but we can. But for redemption to take place, we must confess and repent of it. We must agree with the one who is the judge that yes, this was sin, and yes, I need cleansing, and yes, I need forgiveness, and I need to repent, which means to turn around, walk away, and never do that again. The kernel of love and compassion is the next one. And that's 4b. Who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Oh, if we could just get a moment to where we could get a glimpse of, with our very soul, of the love and compassion that God really has for each one of us. I know it's one thing in there, and some people really glom onto it and say it's a personal thing, and it is. I am the apple of his eye. Well, that's true, but so are you. So is every one of us who know him. We are the apple of his eye, and he pours out his loving kindness and his compassion upon us. What a difference from that of standing under his wrath because of a failure to repent and confess, and a failure to be redeemed. But to know the loving kindness of God from day to day in your family, on your job, wherever you are, whatever's going on. And his compassion when you make mistakes, when you fail. And he loves you anyway. And he loves you deeply. So it's important that we understand that there is a kernel of love and compassion, and we should never forget it. Never, ever forget it. God's compassion for us is like a father for his child, Psalms 103:13, which says, just as the father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. If you can get nothing out of this morning, God loves you more than you can possibly imagine. And if he loves you that way, it really doesn't matter what other people think about you. It doesn't. I know we go about our whole life trying to get people to love us. We do. We do silly things. Well, if I do that, maybe they'll like me better. Maybe if I say that, they'll appreciate me more. We do dumb things to get people to love us, to like it. But we have one who loves us supremely with all our faults. We hide nothing from him. He knows it all. And God's love is unmatched in heaven or on earth. For while we were still helpless or sinners, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a deep love that is. You are deeply, deeply, deeply loved by God. You really are. He loves you so. Then there is the kernel of blessing. Oh, yes, and that's verse 5. Who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle? I don't know if any of you have, and I'm sure you have. You just haven't thought about it, or if you have, you haven't talked about it. This idea of realizing that day by day you get up, you get older. You know, we're all getting older, right? You're not denying that, are you? No. We're all getting older. And every day we get up, we have to recognize how he renews us again for the day. I get up and I say, wow, I don't know that I want to get up. What's the day going to bring? Do I have the strength? Am I able to get through this day? I don't know what's coming. But the Lord renews our strength from day to day so that we literally take flight like the eagle's wings. What a glorious thing. And we get through the day and we land at night and we say, wow, what a glorious day we had. Troubles? Yeah, we had those. Troubles always come. Struggles? Yeah, we had those too. People that don't like us? Yeah, we met a few of those too. People who might want to do damage to us? Yeah, they're around. But I had a great day. God renewed my strength for the day. And I did well. Praise God. Now I can rest, go to sleep, knowing He's watching over me, and start the next day again, renewed to go once more. Until the day He says, take flight and come home to me. Until that day, I will soar every day in His presence by His power. Blessing. God's blessings are given to those who obey Him. Yeah, Psalms 103, 17 and 18. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember His precepts to do them. God wants obedience. He loves us, He blesses us, and He wants obedience from us. And the more obedience we give to Him, the closer we walk with Him, and the more of His love is shed abroad on us and through us. God knows how to bless His children. He really does. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Oh, what man is there among you, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? No, we don't do that. Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? No, we don't do that either. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those that ask Him? Can you live there? Can you live in that truth every day? God, it's hard today, but I know You're there. And I'm praying for you that Your will be done in my life, because I know that Your will is the most perfect way for my life to go. And even though it's tough, sometimes even lonely on that road, sometimes I just don't know. But I can know one thing. I can trust Him. I can believe Him. And I can follow Him. And I can obey Him. Now listen to Psalm 100. There's five verses here, and I want to read that in closing. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and His faithfulness to all generations. So as we go into this Thanksgiving, let us go praising God. And it says, don't do it quietly. It says, shout. Shout it out. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this time. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for the beautiful picture of how those who first came here trusted You and had faith in You and was sustained by You. And out of it, Father, You built a nation. We pray that we as individuals might recognize these wonderful blessings, these kernels we've seen in Psalms 103, and how each one of these affect us, and how we walk and how we live and who we are every day. So, Lord, we come to You with thanksgiving. We come to You with praise. We come to you with a joyful song in our heart. And Father, we come ready and willing. Open our mouths to praise you during this season and all year long. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen.